This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Good morning and welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on the day when we may very well have what shall officially and forever be known as the Schumer shutdown. I love it.
Schumer shutdown.
Absolutely. Dan Buck in here along with me this morning. Ethan Bright behind the board. We got Sue Thomas with your traffic up here soon. They've got, it looks like they've got Caroline Leavitt and everybody out this morning talking about this. And I don't see how the Democrats win this argument at this point.
Well, especially with the continuing resolution sitting right in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a 7-week delay, if you will, to renegotiate, continue the dialogue, try to get some compromise over the next 7 weeks. But instead, they're playing hardball with the minority. You know, they have no power. They have no ability except to basically derail this thing, and it's amazing. It's amazing they're going to die on this hill, especially when you're talking about the hill of giving health care to immigrants.
To illegals.
Yeah, to illegal immigrants.
$1.5 trillion. This is going to be great. I've got some new sound this morning from Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was on last night.
Still out there. He's still hammering away.
I think he was on One America News or Real America's Voice last night or something, hammering away. And he's like, listen, I told you. I told you exactly why a lot of this stuff is going on and the whole Kimmel mess. He's bringing up that again. And I'm going to play that for you here before long. But anyway, we're glad you are with us this morning. And we got big announcement coming up here this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to make the top of the hour at six a big announcement for the radio station. So be sure and stay tuned for that. And God bless all of you who are up at 5:08 in the morning. We appreciate you. We do.
A lot of people working. I mean,
they
it's
do.
Amazing.
Honestly.
All those truck drivers, all the people out and about delivering things, getting manufacturing going early. A lot of shifts even letting out this time of day, you know, where they're going home to go to bed.
Yeah. I'm looking at comments already that are rolling in on Facebook this morning. And you know, I just have to say, for those of you who think I'm reveling in the thought of a government shutdown, I sort of am. I guess. And here's why. Because the left in this country prays at the altar of big government.
Yep.
That's their religion. The fact that they're willing to let the doors get locked over an issue that Americans don't care about. I don't think the majority of Americans think illegal aliens deserve free medical care. I don't. And if you're dumb enough to think you're going to hang your hat on that and it's going to win you any points in an election, I have to say that you probably deserve whatever you get at that point in terms of electoral consequences.
I saw a lady, African-American woman, just going off on a post this morning. She's screaming, how dare you shut our government down over a bunch of illegals? They shouldn't be getting our health care. They shouldn't.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was like, you know, how, you know, if they think we're stupid, we see what you're doing. You want billions of dollars to give to people who aren't even citizens, and you're willing to shut us out. And I was like, wow, people are paying attention. People are actually listening. They're getting the message this time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's about time that they're getting the message. I think,
and there hasn't been a shutdown, what, 7 years, Mark?
It's been a long time.
And it was the Trump administration that he allowed a shutdown to happen over budgets shortly after he took over in his first term.
Right.
I think it was the second year of his first term. This same thing kind of happened where they had budget. He wanted to make budget cuts. They wouldn't go along. But that time, I don't think we had the hammer, and we didn't have the messaging, right?
I mean, I'll never forget that news conference where he was sitting there with Schumer and Pelosi in the Oval Office, and Pence is sitting there like a timid mouse. He didn't know what to do because Mike Pence would never confront anybody on anything. And Trump just read him the Riot Act.
Yep.
And it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. No, they're like, we should let the cameras go now, Nancy was saying. And he's like, no, yeah. The American people voted for this. They need to understand what you people are trying to do here.
Yeah. And he, remember him saying, shut it down. I don't care. Shut it down.
Somebody said he would have the authority to like fire a lot of federal employees if they shut the government down.
Yeah, once they're furloughed, it also invites DOJ to come in and go, hey, what of these roles really are essential?
Yeah.
Should we not? People always say, well, essential workers will continue to work. I'm like, wait, shouldn't every federal employee be essential?
Well, and shouldn't they?
Yeah, if they're not essential, why are they here? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, part of me is like, oh, so we have hundreds of thousands of unessential workers who are going to be furloughed if this budget doesn't go through?
I agree with you. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen there yet. We are trying to get, we've got Congressman Mike Boss is going to join us a little later in the 8 o'clock hour today, so we can chat with him about where things stand and his thought on, because, you know, Dan and I were talking about this yesterday. The longer a shutdown drags on, and I don't think this one will drag on very long, but the longer a shutdown drags on, it can have impacts on some government employees without question, maybe in the Park Service or people who are contract employees who won't get paid for a couple of weeks, but then they'll get the back pay when the government goes back in. And then there's the question of veterans. Now, Mike Bost is I believe, still on the VA committee, and he's always worried about that issue. And there'll be people out there wondering what it's going to do, what it's going to mean for veterans or people that are serving active duty. We'll talk to him about that. We'll get him on here a few minutes after 8 and get his take on the whole thing. We got John Lamping for you this morning, Ryan Wiggins a little bit later, Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First. I saw he was working overtime this weekend. I saw him on Fox and Friends Sunday morning. With Campos, the girl that's on the weekend show. She was on there. I don't know if he was filling in or what he was doing exactly, but he was on there this weekend. So we'll
Todd?
Chat. Yeah, Todd was in there.
He was named. He was named the new anchor of the weekend.
That was Griff.
Griff, you're right. It was Griff. I'm sorry.
So
Todd was filling in.
I missed that. I must have been on vacation.
Yes,
Griff got named the new co-anchor for the morning Fox and Friends.
I knew you missed somebody getting named. It was Griff.
I hope that guy gets like frequent traveler miles on the train, because he has to go from Washington to New York to do that, and then I assume he takes the train back. I don't think he flies.
Yeah, he told us about his 4Runner with the surf stickers
he's driving it. I really don't think that he's driving it.
He's a good dude, though.
He,
by the way, called us the day they made that announcement, like an hour after he was on the show.
Did he?
He came on. They were having a big party for him. He broke away to come join us. That's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Nobody deserves it more than Griff Jenkins. He's a fantastic guy for sure. All right, let's get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
There were multiple times where Leader Jeffries or Leader Schumer would say, you know what, we should be doing this. And the President of the United States would say, yeah, absolutely, let's have that conversation. But we're going to do it in the context of the people's government being open. We're not going to let you take the people's government hostage and then give you everything that you want.
Oh, how the tables have turned. And, I can't wait to see how this one works out. And we're probably going to know something before midnight tonight. My guess is they're already preparing for a government shutdown.
While you focus at home on making America great again, your leadership abroad is changing the world for the better.
Well, the popular choice for the Nobel Peace Prize will go to Donald Trump. The liberals on the board will never grant it to him. But if he secures Middle East peace in the middle of trying to negotiate with these lunkheads in Washington, how can the world deny him?
Agents reportedly unholstered their guns and pointed them at protesters. In their own words, ICE intended to unleash, quote, a show in the Broadview community.
Oh, my God.
Ethan, I really wish you had edited that two more sentences longer, where the governor of the state of Illinois referred to our law enforcement members as jackbooted thugs. That is a direct reference to Nazi Germany.
That's the garbage you're getting out of J.B. Pritzker and the left, the Democratic Party these days. He's the face of it because he takes up the whole camera.
Schumer is about to shut down the government because he's scared of a girl in New York City. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and he fears that she will primary him 4 years from now in 2028 if he doesn't do the far left bidding.
Tom Cotton. How about that?
Wow.
Chuckie Schumer's afraid of a girl. That's basically, he's taunting him now. Chuckie's afraid of a girl. She's going to primary you anyway. It's not going to matter.
Yeah. There's no question.
She's got higher ambitions. She wants that higher senator salary.
If she doesn't go straight to the presidency. I mean, they say it, she's doing presidential hopeful inquiries.
Goodness.
Can you imagine that woman as your president? Honestly, can you see her with Netanyahu, you know, trying to negotiate a peace settlement with Hamas?
If there is no greater thing that Charlie Kirk did in his entire life, he will save us from an AOC presidency, just so you know that. He has enlightened people, young people at university and high school levels around the country. He's awakened this sleeping giant. I believe that. And these people are now less likely to be sucked into the lie that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, former bartender who got selected in a contest to run for Congress and got elected because she's pretty. Period. End of discussion. No brain matter, no ability to lead, none of that stuff. And now they think she might be president of the United States. No way. I just can't envision a scenario. America is done if that happens, just like New York City is done if they elect that socialist, Mamdani.
Somebody said, now she has management experience over busboys.
I love it. I love it. All right, we've gone long here again. Let's get to a quick break, and let's get to our national anthem, please.
Yeah, I think the Trump administration is going to go out of their way if the Democrats choose to shut down the government to make sure essential services are provided for Americans. But there will be consequences. And I'm not sure the Democrats are going to like that when the Trump administration gets to prioritize, again, what money sort of goes out the door and what doesn't. But this all lays at the feet of the Democrats right now in the United States Senate. You're going to see it play out. Mm-hmm. So the negotiation will be dynamic. But the truth is, the Democrats want something that's totally unreasonable, and they know it. They just want to be perceived as fighting Trump so the folks on MSNBC can get all excited. But it's all political theater, and it really is a tragedy for the American people.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Schmidt, for pointing
pretty
that out.
Pretty much laid it out. It's exactly what it is.
That's what it is every time.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. This is the first time we've actually been able to enact cuts, and the Democrats are trying to go back and reinstate some of that money. I mean, to them, a reduction in a planned increase is a cut. It's a warped mentality that if you try to even slow down the growth of government, not actually cut government, but slow down the growth, you're somehow taking food out of the mouths of babies. Did you know that, Dan?
Yes. Yeah. And then the whole health care, you know, the Obama incentives that they would give out. They know if they take those incentives away that the Obamacare Affordable Care Act does not stand up on its own. People will scream bloody murder if their little subsidy for these premiums are not given, right, to hardworking people who should be working anyway, able-bodied folks who have been taking this Medicaid kind of freebie to help pay that insurance. If they're able-bodied, the Republicans are basically saying, go to work, pay your own premium, and people are going to find out that this Affordable Care Act isn't so affordable.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
But true. They don't want that to be known to people. They want this subsidy to just go on. It was supposed to be a short-term subsidy when it was first introduced, when the Affordable Care Act was introduced but now it's 12 years later,
well,
and we're still subsidizing everybody's premium.
Yeah, that's the only way it works.
right?
It's socialized
because
healthcare,
they
right.
crammed everything into and put all those requirements in as to what a healthcare plan had to include, so that if you as a 65-year-old man have to get health insurance, you're not on Medicare yet. So say you're 63, because at 65 you can get Medicare, Medicare, right? At 65,
I mean, Medicare,
you would still have to pay a premium that included payment for birth control, even though you don't ever need access to birth control. That was the one-size-fits-all problem with Obamacare, and that's why it raised premiums so much, because they threw everything but the kitchen sink in every plan. Well, then the poor people, they knew that wouldn't work for poor people,
yeah.
So they subsidized them, but then everybody else had to pay the higher premiums, so many of them have gone on the open marketplace to look for other more streamlined plans.
Higher deductibles.
Which is exactly what the liberals wanted, because the people that can afford it went off the Obamacare platform and went out and shopped for more affordable streamlined plans, which probably have very high deductibles.
Yep.
So you're not really getting health care. I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got a $7,000 or $8,000 deductible.
Yeah, it's major medical, basically.
It's major medical.
Yeah.
You're just hoping for that there's no crisis in your life.
Exactly.
They didn't solve anything for anybody. Let's put it that way. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Dan's segment. A little later, we'll talk about my favorite T-shirt. I just got it yesterday for the Freeburg Midgets, and I'm proudly a Freeburg Midget fan this morning. We'll talk about that at about 5:45. Stay tuned.
But don't give a f***.
As you know, on this show, we feature social media giants, people out there who are speaking the truth, but the mainstream media will never give them a platform because it doesn't fit the mainstream narratives. And normally I give voice to people who actually create content. Today I'm kind of diverting away from that. This guy is the greatest troller of all time. He goes out, he'll post like 6 things a day. And if you ever just want to get caught up on like some of the funniest or libtards just doing really ignorant stuff, this guy is the master of finding libtards being stupid.
Okay.
Right? And you maybe have seen him, because his stuff pops up on a lot of people's feeds. He's got about 500,000 people following him. It's called A Man of Memes is his handle.
I went down that rabbit hole when you sent me this link earlier.
Did you?
Hilarious.
I mean, some of the stuff he finds, it's a lot of it's memes, but he also gets content. For example, this is a protest, and I think this was Real American Politics.
That, Real American News.
Real right? American News, who did this segment. But he finds this stuff for you. So instead of you going out and having to search, if you just follow Man of Memes, he finds the good stuff. It's kind of like the libs of TikTok.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, similar.
He's doing it on X, all right? So you just got to look up Man of Means on X, and you're going to get stuff like this. This was at a protest of Turning Point USA, of a bunch of paid protesters out there, and this guy going down the streets. Pretty funny little bit here. Play it.
All right, guys. So we're here in Tampa, and we got some, looks like some commie protesters. I've already seen the sign, socialism is the future. I pray that's not the case for America. These guys are out here protesting against Turning Point. Looks pretty lame so far. You'll see if we can talk to any of them. How y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, so we're protesting TPUSA. What are your biggest issues with Turning Point?
I would talk to someone in one of the vests. I'm sure they have a designated person to talk with.
David, you can't talk?
I'm sure they have a designated person.
Okay, you don't have to, but if you want to.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Now he does.
Is there any designated speaker for you guys?
He keeps going around looking for someone who can express an opinion. Okay. Listen to this.
While we're waiting for them, what is it about Turning Point that's so bad?
Why won't they talk to him?
Anybody have an opinion of their own? They want to say why Turning Point is so bad? Anything you want to add?
No.
Who are you guys with?
Listen to this. No one will
Who's
talk.
Putting
They're
this
in
on?
A protest. These are supposed to be protesters. Why aren't they protesting?
No, the weird thing about this is the left used to be the counterculture, and it used to be loud and proud, and it's so weird at these events now. It's like silence. They're all afraid to speak. I don't know what the deal is. So apparently there's a designated speaker. We're waiting for that person. But apparently everyone else is afraid to speak.
Isn't that crazy?
They must have had too much mansplaining going on. Anyone want to speak for yourself?
I think most of them were paid to be there.
Are you out here? What is it about Turning Point that you guys don't like?
Listen.
Don't talk to that guy.
Don't talk to that guy. That's what we've been told. You can talk to that guy if you want to.
All right. I mean, this is what the madness is, and this is what the man of memes puts out there. He just shows you these aren't real protesters. These aren't people out there outraged over social issues are outraged about ICE. They are 100% paid actors who are told by the people paying them, do not speak to the media. You must wait and designate that to ex-spokesman. And ex-spokesman obviously makes herself or himself never available, or itself, whatever the pronoun is. But it's like, this guy, I love him because he'll go out there and troll and find all this different stuff. And then people even share more stuff on top of his comments. So if you're looking for some funny memes to share with friends, I'm going to just read you a couple that he posted yesterday. I thought, well, I'm going to give everybody kind of an example of what these are. So yesterday, one of them was, I asked God, why are you taking us through these troubled waters? God replied, because your enemies can't swim.
I love it. Oh, yeah, man.
And I mean, it's just great. He reposts stuff that he finds humorous, and that gets everybody, you know, and I've got one more here. He says, the last victim of slavery passed away in 1940, but there's plenty of living victims of affirmative action who were discriminated by the government against merely being born white.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's
it's a great
follow. If you haven't followed the guy, yeah. I would get on there and check him out.
He'll do the work for you.
He'll do a lot of the work for you. Yeah. For sure. I'm throwing a follow on that one. A man of memes.
What's his real handle? It's kind of funny. It's like
Ricky Doggin.
Yeah, Ricky Doggins.
I don't know. Doggin, it looks like.
Yep.
He's got a picture of a golden retriever, it looks like, on his couch. Yeah. So good for him.
Go Ricky.
We love golden retrievers. Yeah, one of the ones he showed on there, one of the top ones on his page right now, is that video. It says, remember when Hillary Clinton was chucked into a van like a side of beef? Good times. It was that video when she left that event.
That was the Bush collapse. Bush funeral.
Yeah. She collapsed and they had to basically toss her into the... Nothing to see here, folks.
There's nothing
wrong with her here. She wasn't drinking too much vodka or on pain meds or... Yeah. Xanax or whatever the hell they
literally
had
could not physically get herself into the van. The Secret Service had to lift her and throw her into the back of this big black limo van.
You know, there's a problem, Dan, in the media these days, and that is the fact that we heard John Ossoff. Remember, he was the Senate candidate in Georgia, right? We heard John Ossoff refer to this yesterday. And I didn't get around to playing the soundbite, but they feel completely justified. The left in this country feels, and so does the media, I believe, to a large extent, except the few that have written books to try to make some money off of it. But they really feel like that they were justified in hiding what was going on with Joe Biden because the alternative was Donald Trump. So in other words, whatever we did, it's okay because we didn't want Donald Trump, so we would have been better off with somebody who was, you know, in the late stages of dementia and doesn't know where he is half the time.
So lie, be deceitful, yeah. Don't give Here. People the truth. Unbelievable.
This is the sound the guy gave, and when I listened, I edited it yesterday and I forgot to play it, but this is them admitting it. You know, if you look at the alternative, it's okay. Listen.
The most brutally honest answer to that question is, you know, when you're facing the specter of Donald Trump potentially being reelected to the presidency, and you have in the sitting president the presumptive nominee, it's understandable that you're not going to be inclined to do or say things that might weaken that presumptive nominee
right.
against Trump,
right.
given the threat that he posed.
Is that not the definition of putting party over country?
No kidding. That's just amazing to me. So you know there was mental decline. You know the guy doesn't have his faculties, and you'd rather have that in office.
But the media played that role too, right?
Yeah, of course
they did. That's a leading Democrat
admitting
that it was worth it because the Orange Man bad. The media had the Jake Tapper, all of them. They're all guilty of it. They all had the exact same approach until it was blown up to the whole world and they could no longer deny it after that debate. And then people started to see how you've been manipulated. If you really believed all of the garbage that came out of the mouth of the crazy ladies on The View or ABC News or NBC News or CBS News who defended the best version of Joe Biden or whatever it was they talked about, and you saw that he couldn't finish sentences, he couldn't complete thoughts, and he's the leader of the free world and they're protecting him. That is putting your party over the best interests of the country. And they were willing to do that because of their fear of a man who may have just achieved Middle East peace. Oh, my God, that's awful.
And what does it say about the party itself when that guy is still your best option? When the party says, but we're going to stay with this guy to try to win the presidency for another 4 years.
Believe it or not, the vice presidential candidate would be worse.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
But she did lose the closest contest in the 21st century, she said the other day.
That's what she said the other day.
Yeah. She's convinced herself of that over a bottle of Grey Goose.
The woman who didn't win a single primary and somehow got on a presidential ballot. That, to me, is still the biggest. How constitutionally that was allowed, it's a head scratcher. But glad it was, because she was a horrific candidate.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah. Fight fire with fire, she said the other night. Wow. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about one of my favorite subjects, the Freeburg Midgets, when we come back in just a minute.
I'll tell you my high school mascot. It's equally as good.
Excellent. Uh-huh. All right, back in a minute. Come on, Ethan. What do you mean you hate that song? It's Peacemaker.
No.
That's the song they do at the beginning of Peacemaker, isn't it?
No.
I think it is.
I don't know. I've never liked that song. It drives me nuts. Sorry.
We are the Midgets, the Mighty Mighty Midgets. I my friend Trisha Everding,
Trisha Siekman, as most of you will know her, but she is her married name is Everding, and Trisha grew up in Southern Illinois, and I was having a conversation with her one day. I'm like, you know, when they were proposing this change in the state of Illinois to ban offensive mascots, because of course you have a right to not be offended in this country. Did you know that, Dan?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Democrats have installed it in the Constitution. They think they have a right to not be offended by a word or a T-shirt, like the crazy lady that attacked you at a grocery store the other day because you had a Freedom shirt on for Charlie Kirk. Get over it. Who do you think you are? If I see somebody wearing a No King shirt or whatever it happens to be,
I don't run up
to them in a grocery store and get in their face and scream at them. How dare you wear that T-shirt? I wouldn't ever consider
doing
that.
I find that offensive.
It's just crazy, crazy. So those same crazy people have decided over in the state of Illinois that you shouldn't be able to have a mascot that I guess represents, they got rid of Chief Illiniwek up at Illinois because that was offensive, even though it was honoring the bravery of Native Americans, and many of them didn't mind, right? Like, I went to Miami of Ohio, the Miami Redskins, and years ago they changed it to the Red Hawks out of fear of offending the very tribe the school is freaking named after.
Yep.
Miami is a tribe of Indians in that area of Ohio. That's who they named the school after.
Illinois was the Illini Indians. I mean, that it was
Thank
the,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I told Trisha, I'm like, listen, if you're ever back in Freeburg, I want one of those Freeburg Midgets T-shirts before those idiots end up banning this.
So she was over there the other day, I guess, while I was on vacation.
Their fall festival, she said.
She brought me my Freeburg Midgets T-shirt that I've been waiting for. Thank you, Trisha. I will proudly wear this just like I wear my Washington Redskins vintage shirt that I have and my Miami Redskins vintage shirt that I have from Miami of Ohio. I don't play that game. I'm not putting up with that nonsense. It's crap is what it is. Trying to rewrite history because you're afraid somebody's feelings might be hurt. But fortunately, and I didn't realize this until I got the T-shirt yesterday and looked into it, that bill failed.
It did.
It failed in the Illinois Senate. Like, they had a bill that would have prohibited schools in Illinois from using Native American names, logos, and mascots, among other things. It would have prohibited those specifically. It would have allowed for some exceptions if they got a written renewable consent from a federally recognized tribe. This is how far they were going to go on this.
Wow.
And they specifically wanted to target as well schools like Freeburg, who had the name the Midgets, out of fear that some short person is going to get mad about that.
That's not an Indian tribe, though.
Well, it's not.
The verbiage
the
says...
The first bill was more encompassing. It included, like, there was actually, I remember we covered this, Channel 4 covered the story and some of the other local stations last year when it was first introduced, that it would, in addition to the Native American schools, it would have affected other schools like Freeburg.
I went to a high school that had a unique name. I don't think it would have been offensive to anybody, but we were the Monmouth,
Bill
Illinois.
The Illinois House. That's
wait a minute. Oh, sorry, that popped up and started playing.
The Monmouth, Illinois Zippers.
The Zippers.
The Zippers.
So what kind of chant would people make at your
games?
Well,
like, you know, football season, it was the favorite chant was, you can't get our zippers down, or you can't get our zippers down. It wasn't easy being a zipper either. You had to earn your way to get there. So you started as a button.
Oh, really?
As a freshman. Yeah, freshman teams were called the buttons. The sophomore JV were the snappers. Which didn't go over well for the girls' teams. They didn't like to be called the snappers.
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
And after you graduate from the snappers, you became the Zippers as a varsity athlete.
Wow. Oh, have they changed all that now? Or just
well,
still the same?
They merged with another school. Roseville came in and joined them. And to not offend the people of Roseville, they started a new, I don't even know what the new mascot is. Because we all still refer to ourselves as Zippers.
As Zippers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
how you about the can't
how about
get
the
our
zippers
down?
Down you can't
and the other
get
team chanted,
down.
"Take down the zippers!
Yeah,
unzip
take,
them!
Yeah, take
we're going to unzip
the zippers.
You."
And we did a float my senior year. It says you're caught in a zipper jam, and we had a pair of like pants and the opposing team stuck in the zipper jam. You know, it was
that's great.
Yeah.
So in other words, you stuck them in your pants
in
the opposing
on
team?
The float. We had a fake pair
okay.
of pants with a player stuck in the jam. Yeah,
that's, remember that? Exactly. That remember those days? Like I remember that when that was a big deal. We'd all go get in somebody in our class had access to a barn, and we'd build those floats
absolutely.
In a barn, burning the late night oil, getting it done before homecoming. Do they even do that anymore? Some places must still do that.
I don't know, but I know every class was responsible for having their own.
And now it's pretty weak. Some of the ones I've seen recently are weak compared to
what we had one year where we had a giant roll of toilet paper that was going over an opposing player, and it said, wipe out the Chargers. We were playing, I think, Alito, and it was like, wipe out the Chargers with a roll of toilet paper. Little innuendo there.
Yeah, our mascot was the Hornets. Right.
The Hornets.
Which is fine, right? We're going to sting you. We're the Hornets, blah, blah, blah. Mighty, mighty Hornets, whatever. And the problem was, inevitably, every year on a float, somebody would try to make a Hornet to be on their float. And it usually ended up looking like some sickly little sweat bee
because, that, you know, instead of some fierce big Hornet that was going to scare you, it never turned out the way most people envisioned it.
Yeah, it'd be a tough one to kind of craft. Zippers were easy to make.
Yeah, I would think so. Anyway, all right, coming up. Now, I mentioned this earlier. For those of you tuning in early, good for you. At the top of the hour, at 6 o'clock, we got a big announcement to make. And you can all take part in it. And some of you can get special access to what we're about to announce. But you got to hang around. We're going to start talking about it here when we get back from the top of the news here at about 6:05. And it's coming up a little later this month, so be sure and stay tuned for that. And we'll talk about it here in just a couple of minutes after the top of the hour. I promise you that. We're trying to get you an update on that church shooting up in Michigan. Hopefully, we can get that in for you next hour from a TV reporter who's up there reporting on it this morning in Grand Rapids. John Lampen, the former senator, is going to join us about 6:37 and kind of delve into the delay by Governor Kehoe in signing those two key bills from the special session. We'll get to all that for you coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.